Hosts, let's get real. Is your short-term rental truly protected? And no, we're not talking about air cover. That's not your insurance. It's Airbnb's. If you're relying on air cover or a standard homeowner's or landlord policy, you're leaving yourself exposed.
Exactly. Air cover only applies to Airbnb bookings, and you have no control over how claims are handled. You might be thinking, what about my homeowner's or landlord policy? Well, they're not designed for short-term rentals. That means guest-caused damage, lost revenue, even liability claims could come out of your pocket.
But here's the solution: Proper Insurance. They offer one complete policy built specifically for short-term rental owners. It replaces inadequate homeowners or landlord coverage and gives you protection for property, liability, and even revenue loss if your rental is out of commission.
What we love about Proper is that they cover every booking, Airbnb, Vrbo, direct bookings, and even protect you during your personal use or vacancy period. Their expertise in short-term rentals mean they understand the unique risks you face as a host.
Don't wait until something happens to realize that you're not covered. Visit www.properinsurance.com/TFE to schedule your free risk assessment today.
Click the link in our show notes or visit www.properinsurance.com/TFE to get started. Proper Insurance will review your current policy, point out any gaps, and help you build a plan to protect your property and income.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Growing your team is not just about freeing up your time. It's a sign that your business is really taking off. I know when we finally decided it was time to hire, and it was such a nerve-wracking decision to make. But when we did, we could have never imagined the positive impact it would have on our time and on our goals.
I think a lot of us feel that we should be able to handle everything ourselves, but there's power in knowing when to bring in help. And that's where Extent Team comes in. They're experts in providing remote team members who specialize in hospitality and understand the unique needs of the short-term rental world, like guest communication, reservations, and even bookkeeping.
And here's the thing. Hiring isn't just about doing more. It is about doing better. With a team, you get to focus on what you're great at, while your Extend team member supports you on the rest. It's a win-win that helps you keep growing while keeping your standards high.
So if you're ready to bring on a team member and really level up, check out Extend Team. They make hiring easy, professional, and empowering, and you won't believe how affordable they've made it for hosts with one property or hosts with multiple properties.
Click the link in the show notes to book your free demo today with Extend Team and see how they can support your hosting business. Annette, have you ever noticed how much time and energy goes into managing those small but essential tasks, like getting the trash bins out to the curb and back?
Totally. Trash valet is one of those things that has to get done every single time, no exceptions. But you don't want to ask your guests. They're there to enjoy their stay, not take on chores like taking out the trash. And cleaners, either they have too much on their plate or they may not even be there that day.
Hosts, if this sounds familiar, let us introduce you to Fido. Fido specializes in bin-to-curb trash valet, making sure your bins are where they need to be on time, every time.
And Fido doesn't stop there. They also handle excess trash hauling and pre-stay inspections with tech-enabled systems designed specifically for short-term rental hosts. So you aren't left wondering, did the trash bins actually get taken to the curb?
And right now, TFE listeners can get their first month of bin-to-curb service completely free.
So what are you waiting for? Head to getfido.com/TFE to sign up today and see how Fido can take those small but essential tasks off your plate.
Because when you hand off the small tasks, you gain the time and focus to grow your business where it really matters.
Choosing the right property management system is a big decision. We did our research. There are so many options and features out there, but we've used Hostfully for years and it's the best fit for our business.
Exactly. Hostfully isn't just a PMS. It is the backbone of how we operate. Managing listings across Airbnb, Vrbo, and Booking.com is seamless, so no double bookings and no stress.
And the custom guidebooks, total game changer. Our guests get everything they need, like check-in details and our favorite restaurant recommendations before they even have to ask.
Plus, Hostfully integrates with everything, guest screening, payments, and even our in-house damage waiver. It's saved us so much time. And now their new Inbox AI is another time saver. It pulls from our guidebooks, property details, and even the surrounding area to help us respond quickly to guest questions.
TFE listeners get $100 off onboarding with code TFE100 at hostfully.com/TFE. The link's in the show notes, so book your demo today.
Hello, welcome back for another great episode. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. Let's kick off this episode like we do each and every week, and that is featuring one of you, our incredible listeners, who's going to strshare.com, sharing everything you can about your short-term rental so we can share you here on the podcast, on our Instagram on Sundays. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week, we are sharing DeLonga Estate. And wow, it is a showstopper property. They are on 13 acres, private acres. Love it. One thing that really sticks out, and I want to share this with everybody. Sarah and I both like saw this and said it at the same time. They have 6 bedrooms and 5.5 bathrooms.
Love that ratio.
And we just want to share that if you are building out a home, please make sure your bedroom, bathroom count makes sense. We see so many 5 bedrooms, 1.5 baths. And that math ain't mathing for me. That toilet time math is not mathing.
Okay.
Shower time. It's not working. So I want to say they've done an excellent job. The other thing I saw that they recently, they have a pretty extensive, like amazing basement that they put a lot of hard work in, like after they built it. And it is a showstopper. And it is just a wow factor. That's where they kind of put their gaming room. They put some rooms, some extra bedrooms down there. But do not discount, you know, a walkout basement and how much that can bring to your site, to your property. I think they'd probably be ripe for a parent-child listing. If you don't do a parent-child listing, everybody, what are you even doing? But well done. Check out their use of video throughout their Instagram, too. They use a lot of just video, so you really get a feel because the home is amazing. Well done. Thanks for going to STR Share. Sarah.
Okay, today, listen.
Let's get to today's episode.
First of all, it's on the longer side, listeners.
It's okay? Important.
But it's important, and it's with Proper Insurance. We are a customer of Proper Insurance and have been for years and years. And they continue to be one of the most transparent partners that we've had as operators. And they don't sugarcoat things. They don't lie that they are one of the more expensive options out there for short-term rental coverage. But they know their stuff. They see a lot of stuff. And today we have on the show Nick Massey, who's the chief sales officer at Proper Insurance and is considered an insurance expert with over 8 years in the industry. And Nick does not shy away from educating you. Whether you ever become a client of Proper Insurance or not, obviously, I don't say it doesn't matter to him. It does matter to him. But what he wants, what he cares more about is educating hosts, whether you're an owner, a co-host, an arbitrager, does not discriminate. And there's things that you're going to learn in today's episode that are going to make you a more thoughtful risk manager of your short-term rental business, whatever that might be. And wait till you hear just some of the stories that Nick has working at Proper over the years of people that are underinsured, of people that just count on air cover and what happens when air cover denies you because they don't have to protect you. It's eye-opening. It's educational. Let's get to it. Nick, welcome to the show. We are so excited to have you on. And you know what? I will say, every time we talk to Proper, you guys make insurance educational,
fun, slightly terrifying, but in a healthy dose sort of way.
Healthy
so
dose of fear.
I'm excited for this conversation.
Same. Thanks for having me. Yeah, at least the last decade of my career here has been, let's try to make things digestible.
Yes.
Yes.
There needs to be a little, you know, fear and risk management. I mean, we all know Justin Ford, and maybe I just let him stay with the scary stories for the most part, but insurance is also inherently confusing. So whatever we can do to kind of get it down to ground level and not all jargon and demystify is the word. It's everything that we look to try and accomplish.
I'm gonna go in for the killer right now.
This is what she does, Nick. So get ready.
Nick, why do we even need insurance? Because we have air cover.
Well, air cover is an insurance. It's not a policy with your name on it. So you technically don't have policy rights.
I want to slow down because this is my quote. This is the thing I quote the most is go to air cover. I want to see your name. I think you're the one that taught me this. Like, show me where your name is on a policy through Airbnb. Like, I can actually go into my files, my digital files, and see my name and address on the properties that we have proper insure. So I want you to slow down and say that again, because that was the one that really like was the gut punch for me to understand, air cover is not insurance. So we are not named as an insurer on that coverage, whatever the air cover is.
Correct. Correct. And by no means am I bashing Airbnb and everything that they've done for this industry and the growth and the financial opportunities that they've given everyone, including myself here. We wouldn't have a business without them technically. So, the OTA, Airbnb and Vrbo does it as well. They market to get inventory by saying, hey, we have insurance. So you can book with us and put your property with us, and we have some level of protection. Where the marketing becomes confusing to somebody who's just getting into this industry is they see the word insurance as a marketing term, and I use air quotes because that's how they do it, and they go, oh, great, I don't have to do anything with my home policy. They're going to take care of anything that happens. But when you start really digging into it, that's when you start to see, like you pointed out, I don't have an insurance policy that's sent to me by somebody at Airbnb that says, Sarah and Annette, here's your insurance policy for this address that you host on Airbnb. So that's the big problem. If you don't have a policy with your name on it, you don't have policy rights. And what that really means is if they tell you no on a potential claim that they're not going to cover it, then you don't really have any recourse against them. Right. Because you don't have policy rights. So you don't have arbitration. You don't have public adjusters that can come in and do these things and kind of fight on your behalf. Mm-hmm. That's the job of us, an agency, to work on your behalf, especially during the claim. The other part is that they're only covering you during a booking period. So anything that happens outside of the booking period falls on your regular home insurer. And I'm sure we'll get into the details of the jargon we want to be on the lookout for in those policies. It's also very difficult to go through their marketing and through their website and see what is actually covered. Now, we've spent the hours and the time to dig it up. And like one big thing that you see that's not covered on there is going to be stuff from like natural disaster. Even if your property is booked, they're not covering it because that's not their duty as a supplemental coverage. They're just there to supplement potential gaps in your underlying insurance policy. The other thing is they have these exclusions, and it could be things for like communicable disease, if you have a hot tub or a pool. The CDC just posted a thing last month specifically calling out vacation rental property owners and managers about the rise of Legionnaire's disease with hot tubs, in which over half the people who reported having Legionnaire's in 2024 stated that it came from a stay at a short-term rental property. 1 out of 10 people who contract Legionnaires die from it.
Wow.
So you don't have coverage for that in a lot of cases. And you can get that from decorative fountains. You can get it just from hot water coming out of the faucet. If you haven't replaced your hot water heater in 25 years, it's full of gunk and grime, and this bacterial infection can grow in that stuff. So, you know, those are parts and pieces that people miss because it's not presented to the general public on what those limitations are. again, it is a supplemental coverage, and there's supplemental policies out there that you can go and pay for yourself or have your guest pay for it on the booking. And then you do have a policy with your name on it, and you know exactly what is covered and for how much and when and where that policy, supplemental policy, responds to. Or in my sense, in the name of name dropping, just buy the right insurance to start with. And the OTA is there. They may cover some things, they may not. And if they cover it, fantastic. They cover it and you're not having to file a claim on your regular policy, that's awesome. Or sometimes they cover part of it and you need your insurance to come in like proper and pick up the rest of the bill. So yeah, there's a lot of issues with it, and it's not going away. So it's always there, but you can't think of that as your risk management Bible. Just because you book on Airbnb, you have this protection and it's going to cover everything.
Do you have any specific examples, Nick, that you've heard of in the agent at proper of a client who tried air cover first, got denied, and then had to come to the, and then what, and what is that cost that they were denied and they were kind of shocked by?
Yeah. So I always go back to a personal client of mine. I want to say it was back in 17 or 2018 when it happened. But so they had accepted a booking and a group of college age individuals stayed. I want to say it was a Thursday night, and the neighbor had called my client and said they were having a party. So he reached out to Airbnb, had them cancel the booking, and then they broke in the next night and threw an even bigger party and ended up causing about $102,000 in damage to their home. Now, initially, Airbnb denied their air cover. At that time, it was called the host guarantee. They denied the claim because there wasn't technically an active booking. Now, through the investigation with the sheriff, they had found a wallet. The ID in the wallet happened to be the individual who did book the property. And so Airbnb provided some response. If I recall correctly, it was around $17,000, which was just the cost to clean up the home, not to repair the damage that was done. Broken windows, pulled cabinets off the wall, burnt furniture in their backyard, like total retaliation for their booking getting canceled at this property. So they did the right thing in that, in where they more or less declined Airbnb's offer of $17,000 because it clearly wasn't enough. And then we ended up responding to the property damage and the lost business revenue on that to the tune of about $102,000.
Wow.
We've had plenty of situations, though, on the flip side where a client calls in to us to file a claim. We have an in-house claims team, which is very unique in the insurance market. A lot of times claims are kind of pushed off to a third-party organization as a contractor to handle everything. We handle it all in-house because we know our contract in and out, so we should be adjusting our own claims. And that's a very, very special designation to have in the world of insurance. So when we have a client come in and say, we have guest-caused damage, specifically that term, guest-caused damage, from an Airbnb booking, my claims team, they're going to initially push off and say, let's get a claim filed with Airbnb and see what they're going to do about this. Okay. Because yeah, we're here to protect you, but if you got $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in damage from a guest and Airbnb is going to respond the whole thing, you don't want that impact potentially on your regular insurance.
Right.
So we do that and then we wait for what Airbnb is going to do. The problem with that is that it is a drag of the feet. It can take weeks and weeks and weeks, which all that does is stack up lost revenue on the backside for them to respond and say what they're going to do. Sometimes they're very quick, but our experience is that it's kind of slow. So maybe in that situation, you have $20,000, $30,000 in damage from a guest and air covers says we cover $12,000 of it. Okay, cool. We're going to come in and take care of the rest of that from that $12,000 up, because Airbnb is responding. And of course, if they just flat out say no, and it's a covered cause of loss on say our policy, then we're responding to that thing entirely, less your deductible.
Are there any other OTAs that offer a damage waiver type thing that AirCover does, or is Airbnb really the only one that offers that?
Airbnb is the only one that offers it to the scale they do. And really because the insurance market, we're in what's called a hard market right now. And what that means to the listener is, if you look back, you know, really from 2017 was when this really started, but there's been so many large natural disasters and problems in the insurance industry as a whole, especially in the United States, that it's really hard to get program business through. And what program business is, a custom built policy for a particular market type. So we were able to do what we did in 2014. If we were trying to do what we do today in today's market, it would never happen. We would never be able to get our program through because nobody would want to touch it. It's too risky. So we're in a hard market, and Airbnb was fortunate enough to get their program going prior to this real restrictive market that we're in. Now, Vrbo offers a liability policy. They started doing that in 2016, 2017, and then they tack in other supplemental damage waivers through some travel insurance providers, Generali specifically, that covers a little bit of stuff. We see the likes of companies like Evolve, for example. You know, they're not a full service management company. They're kind of a mix, kind of OTA. You do a lot of your own boots on the ground, but they help with some client communication and collecting the rent and stuff. They have a program as well, but it's no different than a damage waiver supplement that our sister company would sell you as an individual on a by booking basis. It costs the guest a few bucks, usually $40, $50, $60 per booking, and then you get $5, $10, $15,000 in supplemental damage protection. So we're seeing a larger growth of that type of program through the online travel agencies versus this kind of full-blown, full-scale thing that Airbnb did. I think if Airbnb ever kind of lost that policy or it got really restrictive with the insurance companies, they'd never be able to get it back.
And I like that you actually do promote, let's go see what AirCover will cover first, and then we can see how we need to move forward. So it proper recognizes that AirCover could be a solution, but you just can't count on it, because if they say no, you have no recourse. And now you better hope that your current policy knows that you're doing short-term rentals or furnished rentals, and they're able to cover whatever happened at the property.
Exactly. Because again, if a tree falls on your house, even if a guest is there, doesn't fall under any supplemental provider. That always falls out under your regular home insurance, and whoever that might be, then it's on the basis of what's in that contract. Which unfortunately, a vast majority of this industry is still running with a standard homeowners or landlord style policy, has very explicit business activity exclusions. So that claim can be denied. There's actual case law on it in the state of California from back in 2016. A tree fell on a detached structure that was rented sometimes, and they denied the claim. And it was about $100,000. Emily Richer is the gal's name. And the only reason we know about that, and she brought it to us, became a client of Proper's for a little bit while she owned that property, but had sent us all the document, everything, and said, this is what I have going on. And they 100% denied my claim because of this business activity exclusion, of which she fought and fought and fought in court, which costs even more money, right? So those are things that I think a lot of folks are, I don't know if they all go into it kind of flying under the radar, or if it's a lack of insurance policy knowledge on the retail insurance agent, you know, the Main Street agent that you called up in your town, and they just heard the word rental and they wrote a rental policy, but that's on the basis of long-term rentals, which doesn't fall under business and insurance. And then you don't really find out until you have to file a claim.
Right.
So we like to go through all of that on the front end and be like, send me your current policy, and I will point out on what page and where it says this, so you can actually see in the policy language where these limitations fall and what that could mean to you in the event of a claim.
What are the top three? So you said loss of income is one that I'm sure people, before they get into short-term renting, they're not anticipating that. What are two others that you see people just overlooking time and time again, just because sheer, like, not having the knowledge? So it's loss of income. What I want to say, like, bed bugs is something that I think a lot of people, renters, but what do you see as like two other big ones that people just really kind of have the blinders on about?
Yeah. So the three things that when somebody calls into us and we're first talking to them and we ask them, what's your biggest concern? The top three that we get are guest caused damage, liability, I'm getting sued, and my loss of revenue in the event I can't carry the cost of my property due to a claim. But those are not the top claims or things that are going to happen to your property. So the number one claim in insurance through and through, whether you're short-term renting, you run a, you own commercial real estate, or if your primary home, is going to be water damage. It's the number one claim. Number two is going to be wind-related losses. So that could be hail, it could be hurricane, could be trees falling. With us specifically, number three then becomes the guest cause damage. Okay. The reason that's number three for us, because we don't exclude it. So if you were to look at the standard average losses, this data comes out every year through the Insurance Information Institute, you're not going to see guest cause damage because nobody covers it. But we do. So it's on our, what's called a bordereau for loss stuff. And we can see how many claims we filed, how much money we paid, you know, how much premium was collected on those policies, where that was paid out and things like that. Now, a lot of people look at wind and they go, well, it's fine because my regular home policy covers wind. And yes, 100% they do. But the problem is does that policy have that business activity exclusion or not? When an adjuster hears that, it's like, oh my gosh, I had guests here and then the tree fell on the house and, you know, I'm going through this whole thing and it's just a scary situation. You know, wait a sec. What do you mean you're a short-term rental? That's not the policy that you have. And then they report that back to the underwriter behind the policy, and the underwriter can deny the claim on the basis of said business activity exclusion. So that's a lot of the phone calls we do get is folks going, I had a claim, it wasn't covered. Fortunately, it wasn't very big, but now I'm on the hunt to make sure I have the right insurance policy in place. Bed bugs is in the top five, bed bug remediation. That's why we brought that out in 2018. We started to see an increase in bed bug infestation. Our clients were asking about it a lot because it was in the social media, it was hitting the news, and we're able to move very quickly. So we jump on it and go, we're gonna do bed bugs. We're gonna charge a very minimal amount for that coverage and give you $20,000 in protection for the remediation and 7 days of lost business revenue on that. And then in 2020, it was squatters. We have longer term stays due to the COVID pandemic. And people are staying 30, 45, 60 days at these properties to get out of the city for a time being. And now people are worried about squatters. So May of 2020, our squatters protection comes out, which are just things that we're on the forefront of hearing these problems or hearing these concerns firsthand. And as soon as we see viability and the need for that protection, we're able to take it to our carrier, come with a tentative rate on what we think to charge for that, what we think our basis of how many claims are going to pay potentially are going to be. And then we roll that coverage out within months of engaging with the carrier on it. So that's where working with a specialty firm like Proper becomes inherently beneficial because we can add and change these coverages big. I had mentioned water damage, number one claim. And because this is the number one claim and we're in this very hard market, we're seeing a lot of water damage limitations being put into these contracts. So you may have, say, $1 million in building coverage on your home to replace your structure if it burnt down to the ground, but you only have $25,000, $50,000 in water damage protection for things like frozen water pipes and stuff like that, which is not a lot of coverage in the grand scheme of what water damage can do to a $1 million home.
Which is so scary, especially, I mean, right now in as we're recording this in Columbus, Ohio, we did experience a deep freeze, which I think a lot of the country actually did. And we were all hands on deck as a property management company doing everything we can to mitigate frozen pipes and things of that nature, because it's just next level devastation when that happens. I wanted to say before we get to the end of the episode, Nick, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you mentioned this and I want to highlight it because I think it's a really nice offer from Proper. But you will, someone could, who's listening to this episode, could schedule a call with a Proper insurance agent, share with them their current policy, and then Proper will take a look at it. And if Proper feels like, hey, this is actually quite good, we couldn't do better, like you would tell them, or you could expose gaps in their coverage, they can at least make the best educated decision they can for their short-term rental, right?
100%. So, you know, full disclosure, we keep the lights on in the office by selling insurance policies.
Right.
But we know not everybody, based on how they're trying to do their risk management, which insurance is a major component of that, that they may not need all of the bells and whistles and call it, you know, the Cadillac trim package, if you will, that our package offers. But we're still going to take a look and say, okay, this is the limitations in the policy. And from my standpoint, you know, you're a lakefront property, so you really need to be mindful that there's limitations in this coverage for the amenities that you offer. Or this policy has, you know, requirements around your swimming pool. If you don't have X, Y, and Z at your swimming pool, they're not going to pay a claim. Like we see a lot of coverages require self-locking gates, which may or may not be the current code in your area. But if you don't have a self-locking gate that's operational, they can deny a liability claim. So we want to see your policy so we can help point those out, because two things are going to happen. One, you're absolutely guaranteed to get a much higher level education around insurance and how this works in your property with us. And two, you're going to leave that conversation with the option of taking policy A or the proper insurance policy on the basis of what you're looking to accomplish. And we totally get, and our numbers are just this, 7 out of 10 people are going to go with that other policy, but we know 10 out of 10 people got done chatting with us and very much should have a better understanding of things they may need to self-insure for, or maybe take next steps to better manage their risk to try to avoid one of those excluded losses from happening at their property.
I love that transparency. You mentioned amenities. Can we talk about that? What should hosts look for? We get calls in all the time in our hosting hotline, Nick, or in our private group of, you know, what amenity is going to make them money. And a lot of the times, and then I try to do a good job of saying, just make sure that your insurance company knows that you want to bring this amenity into your property. So talk to us about what you see when it comes to these money-making amenities that might also not be covered or expose them to risks that they're not quite aware of.
Yeah. So rule number one, if it's not a searchable amenity on the OTA, do not provide it.
What does that mean?
That's like, I can search swimming pools on Airbnb and VRBO, but I can't search diving board.
Oh, Nick.
So you probably should remove your diving board if you have one. I can't search slide. I can't search trampoline. I can't search inflatable flamingo. Like, just don't have those at your property if you can't search for it on Airbnb. If it's not a filtered amenity, get rid of it.
I think some pro tip.
Is this because they know better? The OTAs are like, we're not going to promote these things because they're high risk.
And it's partly because they probably want to cover it on their free liability insurance, as they call it. But that's what we looked at when we developed our program, was like, what are these commonplace amenities? Canoes, kayaks, swimming pools, hot tubs. Saunas aren't technically a searchable amenity, but it is something like that we cover. So, you know, take that a little bit with a grain of salt, but what are things that we're not going to cover? We're not going to cover zip lines. We're not going to cover the trampolines. We're not going to cover the rope swings hanging in a tree. We're not going to cover this and that, because it's just not a commonplace amenity. Okay. So that's kind of that's definitely a pro tip. And that's what I tell every client. They're like, well, I want to do this. I want to do that. It's like, well, if you can't check the box on the OTA, don't offer it. Plain and simple.
Let's pause on. You said kayak, canoes, bicycles. We hear so many hosts like that, cribs and high chair. They think they're just like, the more they throw in there, the more bookings they're going to get. Via Justin Ford, I've heard that, you know, from the high chairs to kayaks, all of that should have a waiver attached to it. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
100%. Absolutely. So one of our fundamental requirements when somebody's setting up with this, and we're helping them kind of walk through this managing of the risk, yes, we're going to cover it, but part of the give and take relationship when you work with an insurance provider like Proper is, okay, we're going to give you $1 million in liability coverage, yes, but you need to do X, Y, and Z for us so we can defend you in the event somebody sues you over that, right? So if you're offering a bicycle, we ask that you need to have helmets. You need to do post-day inspections on the bicycle to make sure that it's not, you know, the handlebars aren't loose, it's not missing spokes on the tire, the seat isn't ripped, the chain isn't broken, you know, and it's safe for somebody to use. And then you need to have a general waiver of liability or use at your own risk language in the rental agreement or house rules via the OTA. Because what that does is it gives our liability adjuster a platform of defensibility to stand on. If we don't have a platform of defensibility, we either don't want to take on the risk, or it's just going to be $1 million lawsuit every time, and then we really should be charging quadruple what we're providing if we weren't asking for these things to be put in place. Swimming pools, it's depth markers, it's swim at your own risk signs, It's non-inflatable pool equipment, right? So you should have life jackets, Coast Guard certified things. Same with canoes and kayaks, non-inflatable. There's this rule in liability in the legal side called inherent risk. Is something an inherent risk or not? Well, a hard-sided canoe or kayak or a bicycle falls under the kind of guise of inherent risk. The general public knows how to use and operate those. The general public doesn't know how to use and operate a $2,500 inflatable triple-chambered canoe. Because what happens if one of those chambers has a leak? Now, here in Montana, everybody has inflatable rafts for the most part. We all know how to use them, but not everybody knows or understands. Like, Sarah Arnette, I don't think you would come and pick up the raft out of my garage and say, I know how to operate this thing. So, you know, that's another kind of pro tip is inherent risk. What is an inherent risk? What is not? Is a zip line an inherent risk? Does everybody have a zip line at their property? No, they don't. So again, that's another thing to kind of think about getting rid of. Anything that's semi out of the norm that would be an acceptable amenity, not everybody has a sauna or knows how to understand those, should have the placard that comes from consumer product safety for those suppliers of the saunas. It needs to be posted on how to operate it. All right. So we do ask and require those. Same thing with bunk beds. Again, bunk beds is not something that everybody has, but consumer product safety requires manufacturers to put a placard on. If you're custom building a house and you have a contractor custom build bunk beds, they need to be built to the consumer product safety specifications. They need to have an affixed handrail, ladder, excuse me. They need to have a minimum 4 to 5 inches between mattress to top of the top bunk railing, right? And then you should just look up the consumer product safety requirements and write up a little placard or order one on Amazon and put it on there. That's going to help the defensibility in the event of a lawsuit.
I like that a term that I've learned today is a platform for defensibility. So it's like help who's ever going to be helping you in a claim or lawsuit. You've got to give them something, the platform of defensibility. It's like thinking ahead of time of what could potentially happen and where in my listing am I protecting myself ahead of time. How can Proper help with that, though? Like, I know you're looking at, and maybe you don't, but I know you're looking at policies and doing policy comparison. But as hosts, when we go to list on the OTAs, I don't know if you can even help with this, but how can we protect ourselves just via the way that we are presenting ourselves on the OTAs? What do you see a lot of hosts miss in the way that they're presenting and marketing their properties online?
So where we see folks miss is non-disclosure of possible risk at the property. And that has two problems. One, it has a problem for us who's underwriting the property, and our job when you become a client, you've not just bought an insurance policy, you've hired us as your risk manager. So we're going to look at your listing through and through, all of your reviews. We look at all of your photos. We look at how you advertise everything, what the around the area geographically, what does it look like, so that we can help present you with things that you may need to do, again, to give us that platform of defensibility in the event of a liability claim. So we just had a situation where a gentleman has a very unique property. It is constructed and engineered well. However, upon reading the reviews, there was a portion of the property, and just in the event that that client's a listener, I don't want to get too into the details, but there was something that we saw that we just didn't like, that it would become very difficult for us to protect that client in a lawsuit. And so came back and, you know, had to dive a little bit deeper into that particular. It's not really an amenity. It's kind of an access point to the property, and how it's constructed, how it was engineered, so that we have that stuff on file in the event somebody says it wasn't constructed correctly, if there was an incident. We also see people, unfortunately, try to hide some things. There was a situation a number of years ago for us. I shouldn't say a number. It was like 2 years ago. We didn't know that this property had access. Basically, the property line butted up to a cliff, a 40-foot drop into a lake. If we would have known that, we would have required a fence and signage and illumination of the trail that this gentleman walked off the edge of at night, intoxicated.
Ugh.
Followed the gravel path, and it just, the gravel path literally stopped at the end of the cliff and they fell off. Multi-million-dollar lawsuit against the property owner. And so that should have been something that was advised and disclosed in the listing. Another kind of pro tip, great attorney client of ours who told us, I cannot defend negligence. You can't waive negligence. You can't protect yourself against negligence. And something like that, unfortunately, is negligence on the property owner. It's indefensible. There is literally nothing anybody can do to get you out of that. So those are things you need to really think about and consider. I strongly feel that one of the biggest misses with new property owners is not doing a test stay. And so you need to have family, friends, somebody like that, like let them stay there for 3 or 4 days at no cost and be like, you need to give me the checklist on like something that you feel might be out of the ordinary that I need to address. There's a small step between the living room into the kitchen and you missed it and you tripped on it. Somebody else is going to trip and fall on that and maybe come after me. So maybe that's something you need to address with signage or, you know, a little bit of tape or something like that, that really makes it pop out to everybody so that they know they got to go up that little rise. Right. So I think that's one of the biggest misses that I've heard of and at conferences and talking with people is like, nobody really does the test stay anymore. Mm-hmm. Like get excited about your property and have people go in there and check it out. And then take the feedback that they're giving you on things you might need to make changes or adjustments to.
I was going to say, yeah, you're not kidding, Nick. So Annette and I have a townhome that we have insured with Proper, and they were on our listing looking at the photos, and we have a handrail, and they wanted to make sure the handrail was continuous and to code. And I was talking to the agent. I was like, how many more angles of this photo do you want? But she was like, she was doing her job. And I was like, fine. So I got her a video, like the whole nine yards. But it also, it's not Proper's job to be at the property. So I would just say as a host, especially if you're a new host of your property, if you have any concerns of something being a liability, to just don't hide it, right? Like bring it up. You're not doing yourself any favors by not asking the insurer whether or not this is a concern, right? Because at the end of the day, you want to be covered if something happened.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Like if they don't underwrite for it, they're probably not going to cover it.
Right.
So presenting what is going on at your property so that the insurance underwriter, not the agent, doesn't pay claims. I don't physically write a check to you as your agent. That's Lloyd's of London. They're the ones writing the check. So if we don't correctly present the exposure, then there could be gaps in coverage or there could be something missed where, you know, we say, well, we didn't know about that, so we couldn't tell you it wasn't covered.
Right.
Right. Or we couldn't tell you to remove it or this or that or the other thing. So I think people get really nervous about being open and honest about their exposure because they're afraid that, oh, boom, right out of the bat, I'm just going to get canceled tomorrow. To kind of let everybody know, state-specific rules with the Department of Insurance require a 30-day and in some states a 45-day notice of cancellation due to underwriting. So if you bring to the table and they go, we don't like that, or we're not going to insure it, they have to give you a formal notice via certified mail that it's 30 days, in some states it's 45 days, of cancellation or non-renewal due to underwriting. So that gives you time to go and find another carrier, right? Now, I will say when you're having these conversations, be very, I'm thinking of, I would like to, using terms like that. So that they don't just jump in and do this. So like if you're already short-term renting, you already have an online listing and you're like, I don't know if they're going to cover me or not, but I want to ask a question, then be like, I'm thinking about doing Airbnb with my property. Is that something you guys cover? Do I need to get a new policy? Do I need to go shop around and see? Now, if they come back and say, oh yeah, we cover short-term rentals and we're going to add this endorsement, now you open up the door to being like, okay, I have a hot tub. I have a pool. I offer bicycles. I'm pet friendly. How am I covered in all of this stuff?
Yeah.
Right. I'm lakefront with a dock. And, you know, like if this happens, if that happens, how am I covered? That's when you start asking those questions and always ask for an answer from the underwriter, not the agent. That way, you know, from the carrier that you're paying the premium to if or if not they're actually going to pay for that claim. Because an agent can tell you on the phone whatever they want to tell you. So always make sure it's in writing via email from the underwriter if you really want to nail down and ensure how you're protected.
You just mentioned pet friendly. So is that something that all hosts need to, if let's say they weren't pet friendly and then they switch to pet friendly, they need to disclose that to their insurance company?
Yes and no. The problem, and we can get into some more kind of details on what to look for in your policy to know if you're protected or not. So dog bites make up a little north of $1 billion a year in liability claims paid out in the United States. So it's not that you're pet friendly, it's that your neighbors also have dogs. And if your guest goes for a walk and that dog bites your neighbor, mm-hmm. what's going to happen? Our experience, they just sue everybody. Are you liable?
Yeah.
No, you shouldn't. I don't think you're liable. Why are they suing you? Okay, well, they named you in the lawsuit. Now what happens? Do you have coverage or do you not have coverage? Well, if you don't have coverage, you get to pay for your lawyer out of your own pocket, and hopefully they get you out of the lawsuit. If they don't get you out of the lawsuit, now you go to the mediations and everything that happened to come up with a settlement, and you get to pay for that out of your own pocket. If you do have coverage in your policy for dog bites, then you more than likely have defense costs provided by the carrier. But that leads us to another thing. What type of liability form do you have on your policy? There's three of them. There's homeowners or personal. There's landlord or premises. And then there's commercial, which is the broadest of the three because it covers off-property claims. Homeowners insurance always excludes business activity. So if the property is not your primary residence, you need a new policy today. I'd get rid of that. It says HO3 on it. It's no good. Even if you have an endorsement, it defines that it's short-term rentals in your residence premises. So if it's not your primary home, again, you have no coverage. That $250, you might as well flush it down the drain. A landlord policy can be enhanced and endorsed for short-term rentals. And they're okay. They're getting better. They're starting to increase their liability limits and things. But the biggest limitation in this specific topic about dog bites is premises-only liability. That coverage for your liability protection does not extend beyond your property line per the language of that contract. That is how premises liability is written. It's built and designed for a landlord who's going to have tenants living in their property full time. And if that tenant has an injury on your property, among something you're responsible for, you have coverage. If that guest has a dog and takes that dog for a walk or goes to the park and that dog bites somebody, you will be named in the lawsuit and you do not have coverage under that type of form. Okay. So same thing if you're waterfront. If you're a lakefront property, riverfront property, you do not own that lake. If that guest goes out in your provided canoe or kayak and becomes injured and you have premises liability, you have no coverage. And so those are, if you're offering that type of amenity, especially pet friendly, or you have amenities that take the guest off premises, you really just need to be looking at a policy that offers commercial liability because it extends beyond your property line.
That's huge.
So what you're saying is we have responsibilities as short-term rental hosts that we need to. Okay, actually, speaking of short-term rental hosts, we come in all shapes and sizes and business forms, Nick. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about, Annette and I have never done arbitrage. We don't particularly like it as a form of hosting properties, but we want to support our arbitragers out there because if they're going to do it, they're going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. There's a landlord, there's someone who owns a property, and they are hopefully agreeing with the arbitrager for them to have this business in the property. Does Proper work with arbitrage hosts to offer them some sort of commercial protection, or does the landlord have to get it? Do you even touch this? Talk to us about arbitrage.
Yeah, so we invented the arbitrage policy. So we know this through and through. And so we can operate we can do it a couple of different ways. So in the sense that you're renting an apartment in Boston or Seattle or Dallas or whatever, and you're, Gray Star, for example, they're a massive apartment developer across the United States. And I use that name because they're additional insured on a lot of our arbitrage policies. So you go into that apartment building, they have a massive insurance policy that covers the structure. You need to get what's called basically renter's insurance. And so if you called up, say, State Farm or Allstate, you can get a renter's insurance policy, also called an HO4, for $20 a month, mm-hmm. super cheap. Mm-hmm. But because it's an HO form or homeowner's form, it's on the basis of your residence premises. So again, now you have business activity exclusions and you're not going to have any coverage. So what we did was we essentially just took our commercial property coverage and liability coverage that's enhanced and custom built for short-term rentals, and we sell you a commercial renter's insurance. So instead of $20 a month, now it's like $88 a month is what it comes out to on our minimum premiums. And it covers contents. And in that contents limit that you select and purchase from us, you're also going to get coverage for the structure in relation to guest-caused damage, accidental or malicious. So if you've got a $30,000 content limit, which is technically for your furniture, but that guest gets drunk and punches holes in the wall or wrecks countertops, you can extend that limit to cover that within whatever as long as you don't exceed the limit. Business income, and then $1 million in commercial liability. And then we name your landlord as additional insured on that. If you're renting a single family home, for example, it works the same way. And the landlord, so I'm arbitraging from Sarah and Annette. You mentioned a townhouse. So you own that townhouse. I can go and get contents coverage, income coverage, liability, name you two as additional insured for around $1,200 a year from proper insurance. And then I'm good to go and I can operate. Now, we had made some adjustments because then as the insurance market in the retail space starts to mature to this exposure, we start seeing that Sarah and Annette's landlord insurance provider is coming in and saying, if you're doing this, we're not going to cover anything, mm-hmm. electrical, fire, storms, nothing. So we're able to also insure the landlord on a more or less commercial landlord insurance policy. So we'd cover the structure. We would cover nothing in contents because it's not your furniture that's in there. And we'd cover 12 months of loss of rent. So if it's $3,000 a month you're collecting from the arbitrageur, then you get $36,000 in income. Plus we give you $1 million in liability as well. So we can just insure the subletter. We can also insure the landlord and the subletter. We have a couple of accounts where the subletter is not using proper. They're using a different commercial policy. And so one of our underwriting requirements to that landlord is you need to have XYZ company provide you proof of $1 million in commercial liability with your name as additional insured on it. And then I don't have to insure the subletter.
What if we have a lot of these listeners. Either they are co-host and co-hosting the property, mm-hmm. and or folks that hire property managers to manage their property. So let's start with a co-host. What do they need as far as coverage in addition to the homeowner?
Yeah, so co-host specifically, not talking about like a larger, XYZ management LLC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Depending on your size, really depends on what you need to do with insurance.
Okay.
Rule number one, the homeowner that you are co-hosting for needs to name you as additional insured on the liability. And listening to this, I would hope that you are telling them, because of this new exposure you're taking on, you really need to be looking at a specialized policy with commercial liability. And hopefully proper lands on that list. There's a couple of us out there that do a commercial level coverage for short-term rentals now. Now, as you start to get bigger as a co-host, you start to, I'm going to have an LLC because I need to run the funds through the LLC. I want to be protected. That's where you kind of graduate into buying more or less a management style insurance policy, right? And so we do that through our other company, Wister, Wister. They have a management policy. Whether you manage 5 properties or you manage 5,000 properties, they're going to be able to take care of you. The thing with co-hosts where I think things are commonly missed is co-hosting is a great way to get your feet wet in the management realm without having to go through all the licensing and all of that stuff. But you still have exposure as a real estate manager by default, and you can still be named in a lawsuit because you're tied to that listing. Maybe you're doing the communication and stuff like that. So number one, make sure you're listed on every property's insurance as an additional insured. Number two, it is worth investigating if you're at the point or the size, I would say probably five is a, when you start need to start thinking about getting your own general liability policy. If you have an LLC set up and you have a vehicle, commercial auto, if you have private contractors, making sure you have protections there. And then when you, what we see a lot of co-hosts do is then they go and get their real estate license and then become a more formal property manager that can collect commissions. Then you 100% need a management policy that's specific to what you're doing.
Ooh, we want to pause right there because we know that the co-hosting just is on the rise. And a lot of people, and I'm going to do air quotes here, I'm just a co-host. I'm just the co-host. But I love that you're saying like 100%, you've got to be covered. Like you need to talk to your homeowner today about you being an additional insured. That's an easy thing to get taken care of. And I know Sarah and I, we coach a lot of people on this and they get nervous to like bring insurance topic up to their owners because they're like, oh, it's a new client. I don't want to ruffle the feathers. But it should be baseline for anybody that's looking at any managing anyone's asset like a home. Like Nick, a homeowner should not give them any pushback at all, correct? If they're asking them to be an additional insured. And if they do, that's not the client for them, right?
Yeah, correct. Red flag for sure. And if the client comes back and says, well, my insurance won't do it. Well, then you go, well, you have the wrong insurance. Like we I can't list your property until this is done because we just have too much exposure. It's not an if, it's definitely a when in this industry. And you could have somebody sit down in a chair the first night they're at your property and it breaks. And now they're suing you. And who has coverage? Where is the coverage? Now you're definitely not going to get your co-hosting brand off the ground because it'll crush you. It's so important. I work in an industry where I'm inherently the bad guy. People think we're a scam. People don't trust insurance. And I promise you that's not who we are. That might be who other folks are out there, but not this company. We're here to help educate and walk you through that. And I would absolutely say if somebody is unwilling or unable to get you that, it'll just, you hit the nail on the head. They're not the client for you. Don't jump into this space and just wing it and hope things go well for the first 6 months, then address this on the back end. It's harder to address this once you're up and rolling and cruising than dealing with it right now. So don't be afraid to talk to people about insurance. It's your livelihood. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many trusts or LLCs or S-Corps or whatever you have trying to layer structurally as you operate and grow in this business, 99% of the time, it's the insurance policy that's going to take care of it, not stacks and stacks of different paperwork and legal structurings.
I'm going to be very vulnerable and open right now that we hear, and listeners, we have to tell you, like people are out there, you're going to go and you're going to shop insurance and you're going to look at prices because commercial insurance is going to be a different price than your homeowner's insurance.
It's
expensive. And it's like we want our, so many hosts want their cake and eat it too. They want to be making all this profit on their home. But when it comes to getting the right policy, they want to nickel and dime and have the same policy that they have, you know, the same rates as their homeowners. And so I think everyone needs to have this mindset shift that you're helping us have here, Nick, of like, we are now a commercial business. And so therefore, the insurance has to mirror that. And guess what? The investment that you're going to make is in insurance is going to be more than your normal homeowners. And I just think I hear it so often, but everybody, again, they want their cake and eat it too. They want to have this house that's making all this money and they're cutting down on their taxes and it's paying for itself. But when it comes to the things that matter, i.e. safety and insurance, they want to figure out how they can save the most and do they really need it? And so I just want to offer to everybody, you have to sit down and slow down and really think about that. That, again, you've said it multiple times that this is a commercial policy that you are getting. So obviously it's going to be a different investment than your normal homeowner's insurance or renter's insurance. Again, if you're arbitrary, you know, like, or if you're co-hosting, like You have to have that insurance in place.
I mean, ultimately, again, speaking to us at Proper, our average premium breaks down to 2.5 to 3 nights of booking a month to cover the total insurance expense, right? And you need to, everybody needs to keep in mind, like with Proper specifically and the other 2 or 3 commercial competitors that I have, we completely replace your insurance package. So if you're paying $2,000 a year right now and I'm $4,000, I'm covering everything that's in the $2,000 package also. So your expenses didn't go up $4,000 a year. They went up $2,000 a year. So when you do your math and you break down your numbers, especially if you're looking at buying an asset and you're trying to see if it's going to cash flow, like what we got to, obviously you got to buy furniture and you got to do all these things. You got to set it up and you got to spend time and you got photographers and all these startup costs. I get it. But let's look at it 2 years down the road, okay? If you plan, let's say you're going to make $80,000 a year gross and you're going to do $30,000 net because you have a lot of expenses. It's a very nice home. Interest rates are up. Property taxes are up. You have more expenses. So you're going to make $30,000. And you plan that $30,000 off a $2,000 a year insurance policy that's not the right coverage versus, say, my $4,000 a year. Guess what? You're still going to cash flow. You're going to make $28,000. Increase your nightly rate by $15 a night. You'll make that up pretty quickly. All right. Also need to look at this in a way of how fast is that $30,000 in cash going to disappear when you don't have the right coverage. The average water damage claim in the U.S. is about $18,000. So that's half of it. And then you also aren't making that revenue. Plus you have to pay your ongoing expenses and carry costs while that restoration is happening. One average claim can wipe out your entire cash flow for the year by trying to save a couple of bucks a month. And I know that's like a very honest and maybe like a very like kind of like dad thing for me to come in and be like, no, you got to do it this way. But it's the truth. It's the truth of it. You just need to spend more time on investigating this and thinking about it and not just eliminate the mindset of I want to keep my low expenses, but eliminate the mindset of it's never going to happen to me.
Right.
Because the average claimable event in the U.S. for residential property is once every 10 years. Our data shows that it's about once every 5 years for a vacation rental. So you're almost twice as likely to experience a loss at your property when you operate as a vacation rental than if you just operated as a primary home or a long-term rental.
We don't have to fear it as long as we have
proper coverage. We know the stats.
And proper coverage and being as open and honest and transparent as you can with your team, and your insurance provider is part of your team.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing. You think about Hilton and Marriott. How much money do they spend on engineers and professionals that come in and inspect their properties every year for insurance? Because, again, they need this platform of defensibility. If somebody gets hurt at a Hilton, Hilton has way bigger pockets than we do, so they get sued for a lot more. So they want to make sure that they got everything buttoned up and tight. So they have these professional risk managers that are typically engineers, highly educated individuals who come out and inspect the property on an annual basis. They also pay them a ton of money. So one thing that I like to kind of tell our clients is like, look, you're not just buying an insurance policy. You're buying a risk manager. You're hiring a risk manager into your business. And the hope is that we just get to communicate once a year and we review your property and your listing every year. And maybe some years we have to do something or make a change, or you added something that we see, or you updated your photos and we have a new exposure that we weren't privy to in the setup of the initial policy. And so, you know, you had mentioned it earlier, the kind of annoyance of needing the photos of the handrail. Underwriters are annoying, but at the end of the day, it's for a good reason, right? And we want to work. I can't go out to your property and every one of our clients and take these photos myself. So you can have your cleaning, you know, team do it. If you're a remote owner, if the house is just down the street, just walk over, snap a couple of photos, text them to us. It'll be fine.
And, yeah, that was the point of that too, of like Proper's paying attention, you know, like it's not like, oh, it's policy renewal, just sign again. This is what the new, this is the rate. It's like, no, we need to see again, like this is your current listing, what's going on there. And that's, that's to show folks also, like if your insurance company isn't doing this, then how closely are they even looking at your property? You know, if you haven't had to supply them with with any documents about the property. they should kind of be fearful of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, some of our closer commercial competitors, they're doing the same thing we are. Mm-hmm. And I've heard from clients too. They're like, oh my gosh, I want to leave this company because the underwriting is so annoying. And then we look into it and we're like, well, we're going to ask for the same stuff.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, we're looking out for you. And again, nothing against them. I'd love to have your business, but I'm going to make you put in a handrail on your stairs as well.
Right. Right.
It needs to be there. It's building code. It's, you're a commercial asset now. You have to have a handrail.
Nick, listeners, yeah.
Ooh. How does, as we wrap up this episode, because it's a heavy one, but it's an important one. So everyone should save this and share it with your business partner, your life partner, whoever's doing the rentals with you. But I want to talk about, if you've been listening to TFE for a while, you know that we love the BreezeWay platform. Pilots need checklists, doctors need checklists, surgeons need checklists, hosts need checklists. How does BreezeWay work with Proper to help us stay compliant, to help us avoid liabilities? What sort of partnership do you guys have?
Yeah, so Justin Ford, great personal friend. I met him in 2017, I believe it was, at a VRMA conference. And so we started getting into this whole, hey, what does your underwriting look like? What kind of safety things do you guys require? And it really just started on the basis, like, do you require fire extinguishers and smoke detectors? And it's like, yeah, that's kind of fundamental, number one. And as he started to, as BreezeWay kind of took over his program and he's now their head of safety, we worked with Justin very early on to say, this is what our baseline requirements. And he agreed 100% with everything that we require from clients. And then he went above and beyond that. And so my checklist is like 22 things. His checklist is like 50, but it includes those 22.
Right.
So we looked at that and said, look, if somebody's willing to go out and do this checklist, whether they're a property manager managing multiple properties or just a solo host with one property or two properties, then that just puts them in a better risk category. So we ran data for 24 months. So we started it and we ran data and we gave a little bit of a credit discount on premium because we wanted people to really get immersed in it and start doing it. Well, then there was enough people doing it that we ran even more data and was like, holy cow, these property owners and these management companies have way less claims and way less severity of claim. It doesn't eliminate you from having a claim, but it makes the claim smaller, right? So that's why our partnership with BreezeWay has transpired into the largest available discount that we have on our program. If you're going out and doing these safety inspections, again, providing us a better platform of defensibility, then we're going to give you the biggest credit we can offer through our carrier, which is up to 10% off your total premiums.
Nice.
There's no other partner that we have. There's no other software that you can implement. There's no other anything else that you can do other than in paying a big, big money to install a fire suppression system to get that level of discount, mm-hmm. right? So we love Justin. We love BreezeWay. We love everything that they're doing. Justin and I work together. We sit on boards of associations together when it comes to education and risk management stuff. We are very in tune with each other. We're very in line. And so if you're utilizing Proper and or utilizing BreezeWay, having the two connected to each other is just, I don't think you can have a stronger plan of risk management than utilizing those two brands together to operate your business.
Amazing. Nick, anything we didn't touch on that you want to make sure our listeners know about risk management and Proper insurance, other than I want to reiterate, really take them up on the offer to, we have a link in our show notes, have them review your current policy. Like Nick said, of course they want you to be with Proper, but they will at least expose you to what kind of gaps you may or may not have and be honest and transparent in that. But Nick, anything else that you can shed light on?
Yeah. I mean, I could sit here and talk for hours and hours about this. I think a little bit of homework for everybody is to do a little research on a term called vicarious liability. So liability is hands down the number one exposure that we have. A lot of people think it's guest cause damage or maybe it's bed bugs, but really it's liability. You're the one that owns a second home or is managing a home that is generating revenue. So you're by default the one with money. So you're going to get sued. So you have two different types of liability in the legal realm. You have direct liability, which I'm directly responsible for my negligence because I created the situation, or you have vicarious liability where I may have unintentionally led or misled somebody into something that created a lawsuit. And so this is where the importance of the commercial product that extends off premises is so important, because we are constantly posting photos and advertising attractions around our property and things to go do. I can now be held vicariously liable for an injury because I am marketing that.
Okay,
so go do a little research on vicarious liability. It is not an across the board in every state type of case law precedent where you can be held liable for that. However, most states are. So do a little research, understand that term, because for me, that's the scariest thing in the society that we live in, is that virtually anybody can sue you for anything. And so that's why having a very strong insurance policy, specifically a very strong liability protection, is so important. Because it's not just, well, I have a handrail, so if they fall down the stairs, I'm okay. Or I have death markers on my pool, so we have this. It's like, no, what about all these other crazy unsung things that could possibly happen? So a little homework to kind of leave the listener for, do a little research on that fun term.
Well, I did write it down.
How nice of you, Nick.
I'm usually a lot more happy.
We need this dose. And I do want to share with all the listeners, please, understand before you purchase a property, even your current property that you're in, it doesn't mean every insurance company, including proper, has to cover you. There, you might reach out and they might not cover your area because of the risk. They might not cover your home. So just because you reach out to any commercial policy does not mean they have to insure you. But you do have to do your homework now, before you purchase, during the purchase, any amenity that you bring in. So you are the CEO of your business, so it's your responsibility. Go out, make sure you're covered. Nick, this has been such an eye-opener and learning for us. And we'll make sure to put all the links in the show notes. Reach out to Proper. See if you can do that side-by-side comparison. Again, co-hosts, owners, everyone, this is a time of year. We're at the beginning of the year. This is the time to look at your policy. Make sure you're covered. But Nick, thanks so much.
It's tax deductible, so it's an operating expense. So keep that in mind, because the right insurance is going to be more expensive than what you're used to. Okay. So, we look forward to chatting with whoever listens to this and comes in and would like a consultation and a deep dive review of your listing, your risk, and your policy. That's what we're here to do.
Nick, thank you so much for your time today. Listeners, with that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting.
Back to next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Can we make you a personalized podcast playlist?
Head on over to thehostquiz.com, answer 7 easy questions, and get a unique to your hosting biz playlist of Thanks for Visiting podcast episodes to help you smash your goals.
The action plan and strategies that will elevate your business is one quick quiz and a set of headphones away. Again, head to thehostquiz.com and take our quick hosting quiz today.